according to some authority. All
right. So we have the sugya of the topic of Shabbos food ovens. So if anybody wants to know what an old style oven before any of these problems started, you can come to my house anytime. We still have the old school gas ovens where there is no electronics at all. I guess there is some kind of sensor, but other than that, the gas turns on. We still have pilot lights, which means that it's from pre-Carter administration. And Yom Tov for us is very easy. We just turn the fire on and just let it go. So I remember when I think I was 13. That's when my uncle moved to a different community. And it was in a shul owned house that they had moved into. And I remember being there on Yom Tov. I guess it was Pesach. And all of a sudden I hear there's a commotion. Oh my gosh, why is all the food cold? And they had just gotten a new kitchen for him. And it turns out that the oven had an automatic shutoff. So that leads to two problems. Number one is all the food was cold. And number two is there was this really annoying beeping noise that was going on and on and on and on and on. So what do you do under those circumstances? So it actually happened to have a full-time janitor. So Rosie comes in and he resets the oven. And they just realized it had an automatic shutoff. So that was the first problem that had to be dealt with. Most new, I don't know if it's by statute, but at least most ovens have this automatic shut off 12 hours or so, and it will automatically shut off, having both of those effects, the noise as well as the not being on. Then the second thing that people realize is that as ovens were getting more and more advanced and more sensitive, so there were these unique features that were built in. One is that it had very precise measurings in terms of maintaining the heat. So as soon as you open the door, that could already affect the fluctuation of the heat power. That's one. And two, there are ovens that actually somewhat shut off when you open the door. That you can open and it cools off so that you can, so that, I don't know, you'll still burn yourself, but so that you won't burn yourself as badly. So that is another issue that would be on Yom Tov. Every time you open the door, something turns off, so then you got a problem. And the other half of that problem is if you then close the door, so it often will turn on again. So that is issue number two. By the way, issues number one and two apply on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's not just a Yom Tov issue. Well, right. Issue number one, you're not really going to keep something in your oven for overnight. I don't think that people really do that for any reason. No? Am I? No? Okay.
In the old days,
they used to bake the chulin. Yes. Yeah. They used to keep it in my safta. Told me that she remembers the chulin man, that they used to put their chulin before Shabbos in the bakery. The bakery had an oven. They left on over Shabbos. They would put their chulin there, and some guy would come around schlepping the chulin and giving out the chulin to everybody. You had to put your name on it, right? And everybody, he gave and distributed the chulin. So it's not ancient history, but yeah, most people have crock pots nowadays. It's not. That's a different cheer about the crock pots. And then the third issue that came up, so truth is, those two, just dealing with those, and then the second one of opening and closing it, that's a Shabbos issue, the same as it is a Yom Tov issue. You're opening it and year. So both of those, the Star K went to work and worked with the oven companies, various oven companies, to alleviate these issues, to have an override for the Shabbos, for the automatic shutoff, and to have an override for the fluctuation thing. And that was the original, there was the origination of Shabbos mode. There's one other issue, by the way, which is what goes back, even to my oven would have this issue, and that is the light. So the light, we have an ancient Jewish invention of unscrewing the light bulb. Now, it's not necessarily so easy with some of the more modern ovens, but that was also something that they decided, that the Star K, when they worked with these companies, they figured out a way that the light either stays on or stays off, one or the other, but not that it will open and close every time you open the oven. By the way, it's pointed out, and my father likes to point out, that there is, you know, why does Star K have the amount of clout that they do? So, truth is, they do, Orthodox Jews do represent a pretty significant market share, but beyond that, they represent an inordinately high market share of those people that actually cook and bake in their kitchen. It is not rare in the non-Orthodox world for people to really eat out regularly or order in or microwave meals and really not bother cooking. All you have to do is wait till early next week, and if you have coworkers, ask them how their Thanksgiving cooking is going, and you'll hear these moans and groans about how we're having 8 or 9 people over, and I can't believe the amount of work that we have to put in. So that the idea that a regularly used oven is something that is somewhat not unique to our society, but is perhaps a higher higher level in our society than in other societies. So these companies, especially the higher tech companies, are interested in getting this market share as well. So then the third thing, and all that none of that was controversial. The third part is the part that was controversial, and that is that they and this would not be only, this would not work on Shabbos. This would only be for Yontif. But the Star K then put in part as part of the computer a way that they claim you can raise and lower the heat on Yontif. That you can go to the screen and just push the buttons to either raise the heat or lower the heat and use your oven accordingly over the course of Yontif. Now that sounds like a very convenient thing. I guess it could be a very convenient thing, but that became a very controversial thing for two things, two levels. Number one is the actual act of raising and lowering. Is that actually a permissible activity or not? Or how could they possibly make that a permissible activity? And then the second aspect that they do is that these are computer screens. These ovens are high-tech computer activated things. You're not just turning a knob anymore, you're now pushing all these buttons. So pushing a button means you're inputting information into a computer. So that's not something that we generally do on Shabbos or Yontif. So is just the fact that you're doing that going to be a problem? Now, part of what they do is if it's in Shabbos mode, it also shuts off the screen. The screen will not, sometimes these screens open, turn on and off when you open and close the oven, so that's shut off. And even when it's in the mode that you can fluctuate the temperature, also the screen is a blank screen. You can just push the arrow buttons up and down, but you're not actually going to see any of the numbers change or any of the lights change or anything like that.
Where you are, I don't know where you are.
Yeah, so, so how do you know where you are? You get it. I mean, how do you know where you are when you turn your knob on your oven, right? So you keep track and you have a thermometer inside the oven. I think that's the way that people
do
it.
There are actually two different types. Some just have arrows.
Yeah.
Mine, you can actually key in the temperature.
You could, in Shabbos mode?
On the Yontif mode.
On Yontif.
You can't see anything.
But you could actually push numbers.
The numbers, and so you put whatever temperature you want, so you remember when it was.
Got it. So you could actually put in a number. Okay.
And you have to make sure that you push the numbers to go to the place that you wanted to go to, because you're not going to have any verification.
That every time you push it, it goes up or down a certain.
Right, it does. But you just have to remember what it's doing.
Remember.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is that is found in that article. If you go to that article, you'll find out much more. Not that much more, but for all the details of what their theory of the Shabbos mode ovens are. So we'll deal first with the the issue of the heat itself, and then a little bit having to do with the computer system at the end. So the heat itself is really where the bulk of this sugya lays, and. Oh, so just before we get started, one more detail. So how do they claim you could do this? That sounds like quite a magic trick. All of a sudden, generally, you can't push buttons, and all of a sudden, you can't. So what are they doing? So Rav Heineman said, we'll impose a grumma switch. So grumma is this really nifty trick that shows up in every section of halacha in Gemara. That is, you're not doing the action directly. You're doing it indirectly. You're creating circumstances that allowed something else to happen. That is what the term, I shouldn't say that that's what it means, because it means different things in different places. But that is, I guess, the regular theory as to what it means. You're not directly doing it, you're causing it to then occur, and the reason it actually does occur is based on an alternative force. So what is the example of that? So the Gemara, and I just quoted the line in the Shulchan Aruch in source number 2, so it gives you an example in Hilchos Shabbos. Teva she'achaz ba'or, you have a table or closet that went on fire. So yachol lifros or shel gedi mitzida ha'acher shelo tisarif. So you can kind of put a non-flammable blanket or fur not really fur, but skin on the other side so that it won't continue to burn there. Meaning you're not putting it where it's burning, or you're not covering the fire. You're just covering something so that it won't burn in the fire, or that the fire will cease at that point. Va'osim chitza shel bechol kelim. Also, you can make a wall of vessels lahapsik bein hadleika. So you could take your vessels, your stone vessels that are non-flammable, and you'll put them in a wall so that the fire, when it gets to that point, will stop burning. Right? Afilu kli cheres chadashim malei yimayim. And then he adds in even new clay vessels that are filled with water. So what's so great about new clay vessels that are filled with water? When they come in contact with fire, they will burst. Right? So shevada yisbaku, that will certainly burst kishetagia lehem adleika, when the fire gets to it. So the fire is moving along. You realize, I want this fire to stop. So I'm going to put these things filled with water. The fire is going to get to that thing, and it's going to burst, and then it's going to put out the fire. So that sounds good, right? Why is that okay? The gram kibui mutter. Because grama kibui, right? That's the gram, grama, the extinguishing by way of grama, that is permissible. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. It sounds like mutter sounds like totally permissible. That's what the word means. Mutter. Great. Adds in the Ramah two key words, the makum pseda, in the case of was. In the case of was, meaning you can only do it if there is this situation where otherwise things are going to continue to burn, it's going to burn other things in my house, so I could do this to guard in order to make sure that a was doesn't occur. But just to set up a situation where, I'll just do grama, so the Shulchan, the Ramah certainly is saying that it's prohibited. It's sometimes hard to know whether the Shulchan Aruch concluded that or not. I'm not sure if Sfardim hold. I don't think Sfardim hold differently. I think Sfardim would agree to that as well. That's what the Rishonim mean. This idea of Grama is found in the Mordechai, and if anybody wants a full history of that, I think I gave a Chabura on this about 5 years ago in the Sunroom that covered this issue more in depth. So well, that's
realistically, it's going to be a Grama. I mean, it's going to be a good possibility of loss if you have a fire going in your house.
Right. So in Gemara land, the assumptions were that a fire is a fire, and what's the worst that could happen is it will just burn your house down. And guess what? It's for Chil Shabbos. In order to avoid Chil Shabbos, you might have to suffer that loss. Nowadays, the assumptions are right. I should put in the. Thank you for making sure I added this disclaimer. Nowadays, the assumptions are that if you have a fire and your house burns down, it's not just your house that's at risk, but the entire neighborhood is at risk. I mean, there's a gas thing in the basement, and that's going to explode, and that puts much more in danger than just your life. So the assumptions are today that we would extinguish fires and showers because of the concern for Sakanas Nefashos. But in the time of the Gemara, so your stone house burnt down, so you build another stone house. It's not that big of a deal.
It would still be a loss.
Right, it would still be a loss. So you'd be allowed, but you'd only be allowed to violate your abundance for me. It's not a risk of life. It's not a life and death issue. Now, I'm not in Europe, it certainly was a life and death issue. I mean, there's many, many stories in Europe of cities or entire neighborhoods being burnt down by fires. I mean, it was expected. If you learn histories of most cities in Europe, Prague, Brisk, a lot of cities in Lithuania. So part of the history is, and that was before the fire of this year. And then there was the fire of that year. That was just the way things were. That there was a fire, the houses were built of wood, and the whole neighborhood could get burnt down. So the fear of fire on Shabbos was escalated during that era.
This grama situation is for people on Shabbos. So the oven can be...
This is Shabbos. This is Hilchos Shabbos.
Right, okay.
Right? Hilchos Yontif is verse number 3. So Hilchos Yontif, it has another case that sounds like it's a very similar case, that of Grama. You have a wax candle. Tafkuf Yudalit is in, right, it's the laws of Yontif. So you have a wax candle, you want to burn light on Yontif, and you don't want to burn the entire thing. So it says the Mechaber, you can surround it before you light it with something that will not allow it to burn any further. I think the impression is you put in like a bowl of water or something. So it won't destroy the entire candle, it'll just go down. And he says, Vish Matirim, he adds in, Lachtoch Ner Shel Shava Ba'or. This is the Rama adding, there are those that permit even cutting off the bottom of it with a fire, to burn off the bottom, right, to burn the candle from both ends. So you burn the candle from both ends, that it won't last that long. So, Hainu, Shemadlikin Gam Lamata Kadei Lakatsu, you light the bottom, so that will go away. V'chein, Nogin, that's what people do. Avayadei Sachin Aser, but to take a knife and just chop off the bottom so that it burns less. So that, he says, you're not allowed to do, because that's you're like making a new candle, so to speak, and that's not a good idea. But then he adds in at the end, umutr lahamid ner b'makom sharuach sholeit kadei sheyichave. If you want the candle to go out, I got an easy idea. Take the candle outside and wait for the little bit of gust of wind to blow, and it will blow right out. So what does that sound like? That sounds like grama, right? I'm putting it in a situation where there will be an alternate force that will blow it out. So the Ramah says that you could do that, but if the wind is already blowing, then you shouldn't take it out at that point, because then you're the one who's causing it to go out. So the Ramah says it sounds like you could do what's called gram kibui, causing it to be burnt out, and he adds in nothing. He doesn't say v'makom pseda. So in the laws of Shabbos, when he's discussing this idea of grama, he says, oh, but you're only allowed to do that if it's going to be a case of great loss. In this situation, he doesn't put any limitations on it. He just says, oh, that would be the way to extinguish it. So what the impression you get from just reading that is that for some reason, there is a distinction between gram kibui on Shabbos and Yontif. On Shabbos, the Ramah prohibits it, and on Yontif, the Ramah seems to permit it. Now, it's unclear why the Ramah permits it in this case. First of all, let's just talk a little bit about kibui for a second. Kibui means extinguishing a fire. So, if you have a regular gas stove, are you allowed to extinguish the fire? So you're saying no. There is a there are those that say yes, specifically because it's a grama. When you turn off the gas, you're turning off the gas, and that causes the fire down the line to go out. I don't necessarily endorse that. That was what that Chabura 3-4 years ago was about. But what you are allowed to do is, if you have a soup on the stove and it's cooked totally, and if you leave it on a full fire, it's going to evaporate or it's going to overflow the sides or whatever. So you're allowed to turn down the fire for the benefit of that food, to maintain the wealth. Right? So that is permissible. That's permissible just to do kibui. That's permissible even to just extinguish in general. It doesn't mean this. So the Ramah is then saying, oh, and gram kibui is okay. Okay for what? Okay for why? So Rav Heinemann, in source number 4, I put a piece from Rav Heinemann, has a 7-page tshuva on this. I saw this for the first time when I went to a Star K seminar a couple of years ago. They pointed out that it's an unsigned tshuva. His name does not appear in the beginning or at the end. If you want to know who wrote it, I don't know if he does this for other things, you read the first letter of each paragraph. It spells Moshe Heinemann May Baltimore Chazak. I don't know why he did it, but he did it. Anyways, so the Nun, Neged Divrei HaRamah, is from the Nun of Heinemann, if you're keeping track. So he quotes this stira, this dispute within the Ramah. And he says that, and that's the way we paskin. You can see 3 lines from the bottom, just the punchline. The afal gav de gram kibui aser b'shav, v'kol makom yom tov shari, that even though this causation of extinguishing is prohibited on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, it's okay. V'hiskim asher atzinu lezeh, b'tziv tivri ataz, the kasa de lom atzinu chavir l'Rabbeinu Yol, de gram amutar rak makom pseida. We don't find anybody that actually says this, other than this Rabbeinu Yoel in the Mordechai, that only permits it in the case of loss. So, and then he goes on to give a reason why there would be a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos is always more stringent than Yom Tov. So Shabbos, we're going to include this prohibition, and Yom Tov, we're going to be lenient. The problem is, not everybody agreed with that distinction. All right, so the Mishnah Berurah is Mekel, but he does quote the other opinion. That's why I just put this on the source sheet. But he says in source number 5, Ratzel Lomar, Shiyafu Lishla Kishiyavu Vatame Hetemishim De'enu Ela Gram Kiboy Biyama. The reason why this is permitted is because it's only Gram Kiboy and it's okay. However, Vishmi Achron Shmachmirim Bazeh. There are those achronim that are machmer. Who are those achronim that are machmer? So Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is known to be machmer. The Mugging of Ram is known to be machmer. The Mugging of Ram is a commentary on the page of the Shulchan Aruch itself. So there are some pretty heavy hitters that are machmer. The Mishnah Brura seems to say that no one has the right to be lenient. That's the way that you codify this Mishnah Brura. But in the Beir Halacha, which is also written by the same person, he adds in maybe Tzarech Lahachmer. Maybe one should be machmer. So whether the assumption that gram kibui is permissible on Shabbos permissible on Yontif, just carte blanche, so that is questionable whether we actually pass in that way. So I think the Starkei, even in their piece, adds in that you shouldn't just lower it for absolutely no. Yeah, here he says the set temperature can be raised or lowered on Yontif for cooking purposes at any time, because there is a built-in time delay between the requested temperature change and the actual implementation. So even the Sarkei themselves kind of say that, yeah, you should only lower it for the purposes of food, not lowering it plain. There is an so far so good, meaning it's usable, but maybe only for the purposes of food. Problem two then gets a little bit more significant. So problem number two is quoted from the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa. Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa is discussing the laws of Yontif, and he adds in the following caveat. He says, let's say you want to put out your fire that's on your flame, right? You cook your food and you want it to go out. So I have a good idea of how to the old style gas stoves that we have in my kitchen, right? So what would be a good way of getting it to go out without actually turning the knob, turning it off? So he suggests, why don't you put a pot of boiling water on top? The water will overflow, it'll extinguish the fire, and then you just shut off the gas. Right, so that's gram kibui. You're just putting a pot there. The fire is then heating up the water. The water is then going to overflow. Right, classic case of gram kibui.
I tried it once and it didn't work. I was given that advice once in Chicago.
So besides the fact that it doesn't work, Rosh Shlomo Zalman also says that it's not allowed. He says it doesn't work. Why? He says l'chatchila ein lahadlik b'kfius kirei gaz mitoch kavana lishvos aleihem mayim. You shouldn't do this. B'gmar malacha abishol k'tisha mayim yiglashu me'aver l'shuli akadir b'kishirecho b'chadu es alav. All right, you shouldn't do this. Why? So if you look at the footnote, it's a little hard to see, but footnote nun ches. So the bottom footnote, about 8 lines from the bottom. I just scanned the whole page. I didn't cut out pieces, but footnote nun ches, he says shemati from Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach ki haheter shel grama hu rak al derech mikra, that any heter of grama is only mikra. Mikra means once in a while. It means once in a while you could do this. About lo lino,
I mean, depending upon.
No, one second. About lo lino came bekfias lechatila, but he says don't do this as a setup in the future. I mean, don't light your fires and say, oh, it's okay. I can light the fires and then do this trick in order to get it out. Right? Frat, and he adds, and certainly the Mugging of Ram and Shulchan Aruch Harav say that it's a problem. Right? So Rav Babager, I have a feeling, certainly would not allow the Shabbos wood ovens. Lo hitiru gram kibu biyom tov el makom hesed. They agree with this idea. It's only in the case of loss. And then he adds in as well that if you do this, I mean, let's say you put a water on the flame in order to extinguish the fire, hoping that it will work. Well, what have you just done? You've just heated up a whole pot of water. Well, are you allowed to heat up a pot of water on Yontif? Well, yes and no. You could heat a pot of water to cook with. You can heat a pot of water to drink. You can heat a pot of water to wash your hands in. But I'm not sure you could heat up a pot of water in order to extinguish a flame. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman is not very strong. It does not only to extinguish a flame. I mean, you could do it to for other purposes, and that would be a nice side benefit, but not only. But he suggests people are then going to go and do this. So he thinks that is a bad idea. So that is one reason. So that's my tradition. All these tricks with grama, and you know, I have a tshuva on the back from Vusher Weiss. Vusher Weiss wrote a tshuva on the Shabbos switch. Is that what it's called? The Shabbos switch? The Shabbos light? Mm-hmm. A year or two ago. There was a whole brouhaha. No, not those. Someone developed a switch where that they claimed you could turn on and off lights on Shabbos. You could put a switch replace that switch with a different switch, and use that switch by using this mechanism, this grumma mechanism. So my tradition is to set up grumma l'chadchila it never works. That's not an idea. So similar to amir l'akum, meaning I'll set up, I know some shuls do this, but it's really not recommended to just give the janitor a list of lights to turn on and off. Turn this on this, turn on that, right? So that's amir l'akum. Now it's tzorach rabim, it's for everybody to use. Yeah, but that's, you shouldn't set up a system like that. Using these heterim as part of the system is problematic. These are really only to be used in cases of need. The third problem is from Rav Shachter. Rav Shachter quotes from the Rav, and this also has to do with the timers that I think is a different shear in this series. He thinks that this isn't even a case of grumma. I mean, Rav Heinemann claimed, what was his mechanism? He's not actually talking about the Shabbos mode ovens, he's just talking in general. But the claim was, we're going to put in this reading, so to speak, and every couple of seconds the computer comes and checks out what orders did the person put in. So that's grumma, because it's ultimately being impacted by the computer that's only checking back every few seconds. So says the Rav, that's not grumma. Dima koach ha'acher ha'poel ba'osa shah mamish sha'adam osa es ha'pa'ula shalo. That if the secondary source is there already when the person does the action, meaning the reading computer is reading every couple of seconds. That's on the whole time. So that force is already there. Grumma is, I'm going to put a fire outside and wait for the wind to come and blow it out. But the Rambam itself says it's already blowing, it's a problem. And if it's a system where it's like you have a mouse trap, so the mouse trap is a system where the game mouse trap, you know, when they set up, right? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, it never works, but in theory it works. I have the game mouse trap where you have the boot that kicks the ball, that kicks the thing, right? But if that's all the system that's set up, it's not grumma catching the mouse. That's it. That's the trap. That's how it's designed to work. So the Rav rejected all of that. He felt that it didn't really fit into the categories of grumma. Now, the truth is, in a way, you could get around all these issues, though. I mean, if it's really all about the food, it's all about the food. You know, it's all about the food. If it's all about the food, so the truth is, you don't even need it to be grumma. If you're really only using it for the purpose of raising the food so you could cook it and lowering it so that the food will stay warm, right? It's all food benefit. So the truth is, that should be mutter anyways. I mean, turning the fire up and down is permissible for those purposes. So why should this be prohibited for those purposes? So the part of the issue is that if you were to put most poskim back against the wall and say, by the way, why is electricity prohibited on Shabbos? You would not get a very clear answer, because it's not very clear. It's not very clear why electricity in the first place is a problem. So there is an assumption that if there is heat and or light involved, that has to do with mavir, or it has to do with kibui. That has to do with lighting, or it has to do with extinguishing. That it's you're doing those things with electricity when there's light and heat involved. But guess what? That's mutter. You're going to tell me that electricity is a problem of mavir, a problem of lighting flames. That's permissible. That's permissible on yantar for the benefit of food. You're going to tell me it's a problem of extinguishing. Well, that's also permissible for the purposes of food. So then there are other issues, perhaps, that concern electricity, specifically those electricity things that there is no heat, or there is no flame, and that fits into like a CPAP machine shear that we gave a couple of years ago. Right, some of those other, what exactly is the prohibition of electricity on Shabbos and or Yontif? So all poskim will say, listen, we could argue about the details, but everybody agrees that it's prohibited. Everybody agrees that you're not permitted to turn on anything electric on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The assumption then is, the way we generally paskin, is that things that have light and heat are Isuri D'Oraisa, are biblical prohibitions, and things that are only that don't have the heat and light are then rabbinic prohibitions. That's the general breakdown, in which case, for various issues with people that are sick, children that are sick, things like that. So we have the right to start overriding perhaps some electric issues. That was the thrust of that CPAP here. It's fresh in my mind because I recently sent me an email about it that they cast down online and argued with me about something. But that is so you can argue about the Grumma thing, and Rav Hyman says, well, we make it better with the Grumma thing, and he thinks that makes it mutter legamre, but I'm not sure the Grumma thing helps, but you can still say that maybe it's permissible anyways, because as long as you're only using it for food, those malachos should be okay. The problem, though, is that it could be electricity is based on something else. I didn't include this here. The Chazon Ish said that he thought electricity is a problem of bonet, because you are building an electric current. Now, that's a problem, right? Every time you're, in theory, building the current. So because you've completed a circuit, guess what? You have now completed something and you've built something. Now, you're going to...
I have a question.
Yes.
I think there's a big difference between ovens that are gas and that don't use electricity at all, versus today's ovens, where even a gas oven has the electric igniter.
Right.
So that if you have an old-fashioned gas oven that doesn't have any fancy dials, just an old-fashioned knob, you could turn it up and down on Yom Tov for food.
Right.
But you can't find ovens like that anymore.
Nope.
Every oven now has an electric component, even if it's gas.
Right.
So that's why. Is that why the Grumma issue has all of a sudden come into gas ovens?
No, if you have an older, if you have an in-between gas oven, so once the oven's lit, the gas is lit, and everything like that.
Well, what's an in-between gas oven?
In other words, not the old-fashioned kind,
with the clickers.
Yeah, with the clickers. But then the igniter just ignites it. Once the gas is on, then it's like an old-fashioned oven.
Right. Yeah.
So you can lower it and raise it without a problem.
That would be the same thing with the knob. You're controlling the amount of gas going in. That's okay. You just can't ignite it on Yom Tov because that's igniting, and that's for some reason that's not allowed on Yom Tov.
So the Grumma issue is really only for gas ovens, the ones with an electric component.
The Grumma issue is only for using the electric component. Yeah, but even the electric component is probably is that really any different than a fire?
Okay, well, maybe I see why there's an issue with a gas oven.
So maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe it's the same as a fire. Maybe it's something else, that there's a further reason why it's a problem. In which case, maybe Grumma won't even help that. So that's one side of the question, meaning that maybe there's just a din that we don't use electricity based on other reasons, whatever these other reasons are. So if that's the case, so then maybe even the Grumma issue isn't going to help. So so the Rav Heinemann turns around and says, well, prove it. Tell me what it is. You have to label it. You can't just make up a prohibition on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You have to label it as an issue. To which the response is, I think, A, halachically might be, well, it's just accepted that we don't use electricity, and therefore Grumma electricity doesn't help. That might be the answer that nobody actually wants to say. The other issue is, that kind of takes care of the fire itself. Problem number four, source number eight is the Mincha Sashir, seems to say a similar thing to what the Rav Soloveitchik said. Problem number four, which is source number nine, is Rav Heinemann deals with as well, and this might be what really, really bugged people about the Shabbos mode oven, and that simply is using an electric board, that you're using electricity, in that way. So Rav Heinemann says, well, that's okay, you could use electricity, you don't recognize that you're using electricity because nothing changes on the board. It looks the same after you push the button as you did before. There's nothing happened. So the argument against him is, well, wait a second. Does that mean I can go to my keyboard with the monitor off and type a letter and click send on Yom Tov because I don't see anything happening on my computer screen? Rav Heinemann, what?
That's not for food.
That's not for food. Right, but electricity is the use of, well, one second. His claim of electricity was, well, it's, it is, one second. I think this was even under the assumption that electricity isn't permitted for the use of food. I mean, can you turn on your blow dryer to heat food up? So that would be a problem with using electricity. I think that that's what his claim is. So, this is probably what he's saying. If you're saying that there's still an issue, well, there shouldn't be an issue anyways because you don't recognize any difference. I think that's his. You don't see anything changing on the board. So what's the issue? All that a person can recognize as change, as being changed, is the temperature in the oven. You don't see that the board looks any different. The control board looks any different. You don't see any other numbers that are changing, right? It just look. And he says that anything that you don't see that is meaningless in Judaism. So his example is like everybody knows that there's certain microbes that exist within the air or within foods or things like that, but you don't see it. It doesn't matter. Or everybody knows that a tefillin box isn't his example, but everyone knows that a tefillin box isn't exactly square. to the square whatever the smallest measurement is. But it looks square, so if it looks square, it looks good. So here too, it doesn't look any different to you, so it should be okay. So that's that made people uncomfortable. Rav Hyman said it was okay. I think it was people kind of used it for a couple of years. And then there was a kol kore that was signed by many rabbanim, chief among them being Rav Eliashiv. That's source number 10. I couldn't find it in Hebrew. I googled it, found it on the Yeshiva World News in English, and had a link to if you want to see the kol kore in Hebrew, click here. And the link was dead, but it had a translation of it, and this is a portion of it where it says, in our opinion, use of the Shasmot to change temperature of an oven on Yom Tov represents an assault on the sanctity of Shabbos and Yom Tov and will lead to deterioration in their observance. We hereby declare that one may not rely on Shabbos mode, operation to adjust oven temperatures on Yom Tov despite the presence of a hechsher on these ovens. To all above, we affix our signatures. There are about 10 names there. I just put on the Yashiv for effect, but Shlomo Miller in Toronto, I think, was one of the chief people involved with this. And they said it was okay. I said it was a problem. And it would really might, and also this will lead to deterioration in their observance. What are they referring to? So I think they're really referring to the use of electricity. That's probably the main point that they were nervous about. We're going to start people, start with these types of things, so you could end up leading to a lot more other issues. Now, Rav Heinemann's response is, well, what's the difference? What's the difference between turning a knob and seeing the fire go up and down, or pushing a button and having the fire go up and down? There shouldn't be any difference. But I think once you entered into the realm of using electricity, so I think that bothered a lot of people. And the truth is that even bothered Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein, this we'll do more of this teshuva. I forget if it's next week or the week after. We have to discuss whether we want to have this year next week or not. But
So basically, what they would say then is you can't use an oven on Shabbos because if it clicks off after 12 hours, it's gone.
No, you can have an override.
No, but I thought these guys would say no electricity.
No, that's saying no electricity. No manipulation of electricity.
They're
saying not. You shouldn't be involved in the use of electricity.
So you just set it and it just stays at the same time.
So I would add, Rav Heinemann was upset. He adds in at the end of his tshuva that, you know, that it's, you might want to reject the last part of the Shabbos mode. We pointed out there's a lot of benefits to the Shabbos mode. So you might want, even if you reject and say that you shouldn't adjust the temperature, you still should use the Shabbos mode because of the other benefits. So you avoid the automatic shut up and you avoid the manipulation of the temperature. That's all still good. You're not disagreeing with that. So he was upset with them even for that reason. Maybe if you're going to write a cold car, you get this last part, fine, you can have a machlokas, but you should have included at least that it's still good to get these ovens because of the other benefits that are coming along with it. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva here where he discusses Shabbos timers. So this is really part of next week's year, but just the part that's relevant for this, he adds in, he says, this is really the beginning of the truth, he says, "Ne lefiyani as dice," the underlying part, "pashat she'asher lahatir zeh," we don't want to allow it. Now, this was talking about...
What kind of timer is he talking about?
Yeah, he's talking about a timer on an oven, meaning that you're going to have your oven be timed to start in the middle of Shabbos. So he says, I don't want to do that. Now, he does allow lights. We'll get to his tshuva in depth Next time we do it. But for now, he says, Pasha Cha'asul, I don't want to allow it. The Moris Shaos Kazeh, using these kinds of timers, Yuchol Nasos Kol HaMalachus B'Shabbos V'Chol Batei HaKharoshes. You could do whatever malacha you want in any of the factories. There's no greater Zilzul Shabbos than this. It's clear to me that if this was during the time of the Atanaim and Amorayim, they would prohibit this. Right, which is very, it didn't exist then, but if it did exist then, that would be on the list of prohibitions. That's why they prohibited telling a non-Jew to do work. So maybe it's even included in that. The Asu Amir La'akum. The Asu Komalacha Nasa Shil Yisrael Mitzad Amir HaYisrael. The Kol Shekim Mitzad Maisa Yisrael. To prohibit all malacha that's done by Yisrael because they said to do it. And this as well, this is worse. You're not just saying something to do it, you're setting the system up so that it will happen. They think that for that reason is this. So Rav Moshe was very nervous about the use of timers. Now, spoiler alert, we're not knowing this way. Meaning this tshuva of Rav Moshe wasn't really accepted. People use timers for everything. But in this tshuva, Rav Moshe only wanted to permit timers on lights and not timers on anything else. But why? What's the difference? You're doing the same action. And by the way, the next line is, and why is it permitted to put a pot of chillant on the flame and let it continue to cook over Shabbos and not to do a timer? So they have to wait for the answer to that question. But he... But what was he nervous about? He was just nervous that that you can now, if you're going to use grumma this and grumma that, you can end up mothering, permitting many things on Shabbos and Yantav, and you're going to destroy the entire nature of Shabbos and Yantav, and that's why he was uncomfortable. That's probably what was driving these Rabbanim as well to prohibit it. Meaning one could have a machlokas about grumma, not grumma, whether to rely on the Mishnah Berurah, not rely on the Mishnah Berurah. All of that is interesting and worthy of a dispute, but the next level of the idea that, oh, we're going to use these timers, they were very they were nervous about that next step of, oh, and we're now going to get involved with permitting people to use computers on Shabbos and Yom Tov essentially. I would just add in Rav Asher Weiss, in that tshuva of the Shabbos switch, so he has three things, he has three chapters. So the first chapter is that I don't know if we're going to talk about that Shabbos switch that much, but their claim was that it is a grumma of grumma. It's a super grumma. I forget the exact reason, because you're flipping the switch, which then causes something else to happen, which then gets read every couple of seconds, so it's a double grumma, and then it should be okay. But Rashi Weiss says, first of all, there's no such thing. Who says that there's such a thing as a, that's it. It's just one. Well, what's the difference if you're playing Mousetrap and you're on to level 5 or level 8? It's the system is all set up already there. Mm-hmm. The second thing he says is, therefore, he thinks that it might even be a problem on a level of Doraisa.
Electrician around here even know about installing a switch like that?
You'd have to, it shouldn't be, it's, I don't think, you can look at, I think the website is still up, I forgot to check it today, but this hit the, I think about 5 years ago, I remember Bruce Greif came to me on Shabbos all excited, and he printed out the whole website and gave it to me. I said, it's not going to work, grumma's not really allowed, and it's not going to fly. And then I didn't hear anything about it, and then all of a sudden 3 years later, it like shows up, and it became a big fight, and that's when Rav Asher Weiss wrote his tshuva, and many others wrote their response against it. And if you check YU Torah, you could find several shiurim from that month on the topic of the Shabbos switch. And then it died down. I don't think anybody used it, but the plan was it's just a switch that you install into your thing, and it shouldn't be that difficult. But he concludes, Rav Asher Weiss concludes by saying that when it comes to all these types of new inventions, it's hard to make distinctions. Why is this okay and why is that not okay? Meaning, he's not talking about the Shabbos mode, but I think he would say to Rav Heinemann, yes, you're right. It doesn't sound like there's a distinction between turning the gas in order to raise and lower the flame and pushing a button in order to raise and lower the flame. You're doing the same thing. But, he says, still, there's a difference, and you have to leave it kind of to the Rabbanim, and I would say the bulk of Rabbanim, to kind of make these types of distinctions. And I think, as we've spoken about in the past, that this concept exists, that when electricity first came out, nobody really knew what to deal with it, and there are stories, there are not a few stories, plenty of stories, of Rabbanim that would turn lights on and off on Yantif and thought that it was Mutter on Yantif. And then it became kind of official later on that we don't do this over the course of Shabbos and Yom Tov, and certainly not on Shabbos and also not on Yom Tov as well. And that's just the way it is, that there's kind of been this ban that's been established over the use of electricity, even though one can start making claims that maybe it's okay now. Okay, it also came up with the Shabbos, remember there is a Shabbos app for phones, which I think was a hoax the whole time. But there was a claim that, oh, now you'll be able to use your phone on Shabbos. So I think the whole thing actually was a hoax, I'm not sure. But that was the same idea. The same idea was, oh, we're going to put a thing so that there's a time delay and then it's going to be okay. But at the end, these things are not acceptable. That seems to have been knocked out. Lach l'maisa, when it comes to the Shabbos mode ovens, Rav Heinemann says that they're fine, obviously, so who am I to argue with him? Personally, we don't use it. My Masor from my Rebbeim is not to use his mechanisms. The idea of Grumma is not to use it, but the other things that he does, in terms of the automatic shut-off and the temperature maintenance and things like that, so that obviously is good. So if we were getting a new oven, which I don't see happening anytime soon, but if we were getting a new oven, we would say I would want to get a Shabbos mode oven, but I don't think I would be comfortable changing the temperature on Shabbos, well, certainly not on Shabbos, but not on Yom Tov either, for the reasons that you spelled out here above. All right? Yeah?
Are you going to go issues of when you've had open the ovens or when you've had...
So I wasn't, but they're not universal, those opening and closings.
So...
Different ovens have different ways. Sometimes there's a light, not a light.
So, forget, well, I'm not talking about like if the light goes on, the light goes off. That I can don't open it if the light's not on, because opening it will turn the light on.
Sure.
But my question is, if you, on the regular oven, if the flame, if the fire is not on because it's maintaining the same temperature, and you know that if you open the door, the flame's going to go on, can you open the door, or are you better off not opening the door unless the flame is lit? Because you can see the flames on or off.
Similar question with refrigerators, isn't it?
Right, so yes. The issues were fought out in the 30s and 40s with regards to refrigerators. Yes. Opening the refrigerator is then going to turn on the engine. So there are those that are machmir to only open refrigerators. I'm not sure how this works with the modern refrigerators. But with the old refrigerators, when you hear the humming, it goes humming on and off, so some are machmir to only open it up when you heard the humming on, because you knew it was on, you knew you weren't going to be turning it on. But many are makel on that, because we assume that it's a psik resha de lo nichele. Sorry, it's a davar she'eino mischaving, and it's not really nichele. It's not really for your benefit. It's that's just the way that it works. It's not automatically going to happen. And if it happens, so it happens. Now the ovens, they're different. I can't go with particular specific ovens. Some of them are more sensitive than others. If you know that the fire is going to turn on as soon as you open the door, so that sounds like an issue, but it also is a grumma. It might then be okay. So I've got to work out the details with the particular ovens. Okay.
Awesome.